Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
There's no way to describe it. Peter said that if you would come to Christ, times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. But can you imagine seeing the face of the one in whom there are no shifting of shadows? Being able to be with him and be in his presence. It will truly be amazing.
There will be no night and no need for light because the Lord will be all the light we need. We are in Revelation chapter 22, learning more about New Jerusalem, where we will live and serve God forever and where we will see his face. This is a promise for those who choose to follow Christ, our promise and our hope. With part 2 of Revelation 22 verses 1 through 5, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
It says here that they're going to eat this tree, which bears 12 fruits, and the tree yield its fruits every month. Now, there's a question that we get asked periodically about heaven. God created the time, space, matter continuum. So we're in that. So we're marking time. We're going through time. God's outside of time. We'll get into that in the next section too, when God says, behold, I'm coming quickly. We'll talk some about that. However, the question is, when we get to heaven, are we going to be outside of time? Are we going to be in eternity like God, or are we going to be marking time? This passage seems to be some evidence that we'll be marking time, because it says that the tree yields its different fruit every month. So with each month, there's a change of fruit, and it seems like there's some marking of time that goes on with it. It also would tell us that we're going to enjoy food when we're in heaven, because there's the fruit from the tree of life and whatever else there is. Now, it goes on to say, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, the tree of life had leaves on it that could be eaten that were for the healing of the tree of nations. What was God's initial desire for this tree? And are there still nations, and it seems like there are, in eternity? Like, God has no problem with there being a division of nations. Although we become a people who were not, but have become a people who now are, from every tongue, tribe, and nation that is in the earth. I don't know that we'll have to eat the leaves. Like, I got a stomachache, I need to go eat the leaf. I don't think that's what it's saying, because there's no more pain, no more sorrow, right? But whatever God's initial idea was for the tree of life, the leaves were for the healing of the nations. Notice it's were for the healing of the nations. Revelation 21:24 says, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in his light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor into it. So there is a connection to the life that we have here and the life we have in eternity. The nations will bring their glory, and the kings will bring their honor to it. So they'll remember who they are, because of that passage in the Old Testament that says the former things will not be remembered. People go, I don't know if I'm going to remember anything because the former things won't be remembered. That's not what it's saying. It's saying when you're in heaven and you see God's face and all of his glory and you are overwhelmed in his presence, you're not going to be thinking, man, I used to love worshiping at Calvary Chapel. The former things are not going to come to mind, because the things that you are in are going to be so amazing, but there will still be a connection to the life that we lived here. So much so that the kings will bring their honor to it. Revelation 21, 26 and 27 says, and they shall bring their glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes any abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Again, the idea of the nations bringing things in. Now, the next thing we're told is in verse 3, and that is that there is no more curse. Now, this reminds us of something, that we are living under a curse today. In fact, probably under curses today. We know that the ground has been cursed, and it has thorns and thistles, and it's by hard work that we're able to make a living. And I think that God had to do that for a reason. When God created us in the innocence of our minds, before we knew good and evil, God had a plan for humanity, and it would have went a different direction had we gone a different direction. God knows what that direction would be. But instead, Adam and Eve fell, and we found ourselves with that sinful heart, sinful desire. And so God needed to do something in order to work in our lives. He needed to build character in us. And so he brought adversity into our lives. And we are to consider it joy when we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance. But we aren't considering joy, the actual trials. When you're facing the trial, that's not the joy. We consider it joy because it produces endurance because of what God's doing inside of you. God uses all kinds of difficulties and adversities to build character and do what he's doing inside of you. God may even be allowing you to go through a difficulty now because he's working something out. Paul said that he had a thorn in his flesh, whatever that was. And he prayed 3 times that it would be removed. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And he said, "It was given to me because of the greatness of the call." In other words, he could have easily become prideful because of being the apostle to the Gentiles, the greatness of his call. So God gave him a thorn in the flesh. Some believe it was some kind of an eye disease, something people could look at him and see and go, "This guy is the apostle to the Gentiles," so that he would always walk in that humility. It was necessary. And so God did that with the curse. And women, of course, were cursed with childbearing. And that hasn't been taken away, has it, ladies? You know, we still have that curse. Satan was cursed as well. There are some other curses that are talked about in the Bible. We have in Deuteronomy 21:23. Well, let me go here first. In Genesis 4:10-11, it says, "And he said, 'What have you done?'" This is God talking to Cain after he killed Abel, the first murder. "What have you done? 'The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground.' So now you are cursed from the earth." Now he's no longer under the curse of the earth, where it's hard to toil and actually make a living, but he's cursed from the earth, which has opened up his mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. "And you will till the ground. It shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be upon the earth." Notice this curse he's under is connected to what he did. He kills his brother, the ground receives the blood, and now he's cursed from the ground because of it. So it seems to be a connection with consequences, but it's not necessarily the consequences from the sin. When you and I sin, there are consequences that happen from the sin. But there are also curses that we do live under. There's a couple places in the Old Testament where God said, "I will visit the sin of the father to the generations to the third and fourth generation. I will visit the sin of the father to the generations to the third and fourth generation." Which we go, what is God doing? Why would God do that? Well, first of all, I'm not sure that he's visiting the iniquity, meaning that he's going to take the sin and pass it on to each generation, where now the dad did it, so the kids have to do it and can't not do it. That would be some kind of predestination that we don't generally believe in. But that the consequences of the sin was passed down. And that would be a sort of curse. You could use that word for a curse. Now, how it's used today, I don't agree with. So there are people today that say, "You're under generational curses. And you're going to come to our meeting tonight, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to deliver you from your generational curses." Or they'll ask you, "Have you been delivered from your generational curses?" There may be consequences of what our parents did that affect us today that we don't even know about. But Jesus set you free from the curse. Any curse that you may have been under, well, the curse is one day that we're on the earth and childbearing will be taken away. But listen to what Galatians 1:8-9 says. Now listen to what Galatians 3:13 says. Let's go to that one. "But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" So did you know that there were curses under the law? There were blessings. We know that. We know there are people who want to take those blessings and apply them today as if you were under the law. But if they could keep the law, if Israel would have kept the law and not blown it, then Psalms 91, I will heal all of your sicknesses, all of your diseases, would have been for them. But there were also the curses. If you don't keep the law, this is what's going to happen to you. They ended up being under the curses because they didn't keep the law. And it wasn't that God didn't make ways for them to repent and to give sacrifices and to make things right, because everybody sins. It's that their hearts turned away from God and they found themselves under the curses. Now, if you feel like you're under a curse today, the time will come when you will not be under a curse, but we have been set free from it. I find it interesting today there are curses that apply. Listen to what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, and now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So when you are teaching something that is a different gospel, there's a curse that is connected to it. Let them be accursed. 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Oh, come, Jesus. So there's a curse on anyone who doesn't love Christ and who doesn't live with him. Now we're in heaven and there are no more curses. Now remember, the ground and the curse of childbearing will be done away with. The new heaven and the new earth have been created and it's a whole new place. We're not living on land that was ever cursed at all. It's a new heaven and it's a new earth. So then the rest of verse 3 says, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And this is probably one of the most amazing things. And his servants shall serve him. When we talk about what we're going to do in eternity, we're going to serve him. We're going to be his servants. Now, we're also going to rule and reign with him, which we'll see in a moment. But heaven is not just about hanging out on one long vacation. We're going to be doing things for him. We have no idea what those things will be like. In verse 4, it says, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Now, if you're against tattoos, I'm sorry, you're going to have a tattoo on your forehead. I mean, I have no idea if that's really what it means, right? Maybe it's invisible ink. So you can't really say it. Maybe it's just God in his way of saying, you belong to me. But he will be there. In fact, we shall see his face, which speaks about his presence. Now, any of you guys that have lost someone close to you, then you're going to understand what I'm going to say now. So almost 11 years ago, I lost my late wife, Lisa. And I remember struggling the first couple of years through my grief. And I remember being struck with how I missed her presence. There's something about her presence. If you've ever loved someone and then they've been taken, maybe you've loved someone and somebody had to, go away for a year or something, and you miss their presence. Can you imagine that if I miss Lisa's presence like that, can you imagine how we're going to sense the presence of the Lord? There's just no way. This is what I was talking about in the beginning of the study. There's no way to describe it. Peter said that if you would come to Christ, times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. But can you imagine seeing the face of the one in whom there are no shifting of shadows? Being able to be with him and be in his presence. It will truly be amazing. Verse 5 says, there shall be no more night there. They need no lamp nor light from the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. You can imagine that. That's how grand God is, that this whole new heaven and new earth doesn't need a sun or a light because God is its light. And then it says, and they shall reign forever and ever. And I think the they reigning forever and ever is not the Father and the Son. It's the servants that serve him. We sing the song, and they shall reign forever and ever. But here it's us. We reign with him. And there are so many verses in the Bible that tell us this. I want to read you one out of 1 Peter. This is 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation. This is our identity that's in Christ. Some of us find our identity in other things. If you're a doctor, I'm a doctor, If you achieve something great in your life, then you can find your identity in that. But this is the identity that really matters. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Think of that. A priesthood is someone that goes before God for other people. And we are a royal priesthood, which would be royalty, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Mercy is when you should receive justice in a bad way, but you receive mercy. It's going to be so good when we realize that God has had mercy on us and compassion. I don't know if you've ever been in a need, maybe in a bad accident or something, and someone came to help you. You realize the mercy that was given to you in that moment. How much more will the mercy of God be when we realize who we are and the mercy that he's given us? Along these same lines of reigning forever and ever, 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13 says, "This is a faithful saying, for if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So we will also live with him, and we shall also reign with him." So there again. And when it comes to the concept of how we're going to reign with him, who we're going to reign over, what that's going to look like, I always have to come and say, I don't know. I don't understand. If I try to describe it, someone says, describe for me what our reigning for Christ looks like. I'm getting a little bit better picture of it now, but I still go, I don't know. I don't know who we're going to be reigning over. Why are some reigning over other people? Maybe that's the reward system. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming back and my reward is with me. And maybe there's some reward in ruling and reigning with him, but it looks like we're all going to rule and reign. So I'm not quite sure how this picture completely unfolds. Daniel 7:27, still thinking about reigning with him. Daniel 7:27. Now, this is the passage where you have, it's the Old Testament, and you've got the Ancient of Days, and there are thrones set up, plural. And the Son of Man comes on the clouds to the one who is the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is God. The Son of Man is going to receive a kingdom forever. This is why some Jewish commentators, even ancient Jewish commentators, talked about two powers in heaven. This passage is one of the reasons. But listen to what it says. It says, then the kingdom and dominion, the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heavens, shall be given to the people and the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominions shall serve and obey him. So he gives the dominion to the saints of the Most High. So all the way back in the Old Testament, were the idea that we were going to reign with him. Now, three things in closing. Number one, have you come to Christ and drunk of the living water that he has made available for you? Do you really want to know him? Do you really want to follow him? Do you really want to find that water that he's given? Then the invitation in Revelation 22:17 is for you. If anyone is thirsty, then come and drink of the living water. It's available for you. And it's a heart to say, I want to live wholeheartedly for you. Not partially, but completely and totally living for him. Number two, water is life. Without water, we don't have life. Jesus is like the living water, who's given us the Holy Spirit that will flow back out of us into the lives of those that are around us. And as long as we are here, we are serving him by being a light that shines in dark places. And finally, we will live in the presence of God. I don't know that there's a description that can really tell us what that's like. Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord now that we're saved, but we are going to be in his presence. And what that will be like, I don't know. But it's beyond measure. And it seems like in this study on both campuses, I've said what it's going to be like. I don't know a lot. But the Bible does tell us, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has the heart comprehended the things that God has desired for us. So God has planned things for us that we don't understand. And it says, but the Spirit of God is showing them to us. So we're beginning to see these things, but God has planned so much more than we can possibly even begin to understand. Stand with me, would you please? And let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for the time that we're able to spend here today studying your word. We thank you for the work that you're doing inside of each one of us. And we pray that you would continue to get us ready now. Lord, thank you that you bring difficulties, adversities into our lives, that you would build our character. And we don't think it's strange that we encounter fiery trials. But Lord, we pray that we would learn from them quickly, that you would, the work that is being done from those struggles and difficulties would be effective in each one of our lives. Lord, I pray for those that are here who have never made a commitment to you. I pray that they would be bold to give you a commitment tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But if you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Christ, you've never received him. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. This means you got to invite him in. He will not force his way in. He won't just come in because you'd say, you know, you're not saying to him, stay out, so he'll come in. He's waiting for the invitation for you to say, I want you in my life. Now, what happens to you when you receive him is that the Holy Spirit, the Father, move into your life and you become an entirely new creation. And you now live for him as one of his disciples. That's what he's asking you. Like James and John and Peter, who were told to leave their net and follow him. So we leave our old lives and we follow him and we become disciples. Now, if you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, you're done living for yourself and you're ready to live for him, then I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Just raise your hand. Lift your hand up high now. Lift it up. You're saying, I want to give my life to him and I want to live for him. God bless you along the back wall. That's great. Anyone else? Just raise your hand now. Be bold. This is your day when you're surrendering your life to him and saying, Lord, I want to follow him. I want to live for him. Just raise your hand. I'll scan the room one more time. I won't go on and on. If you want to give your life to him, then raise it now. All right, you can put your hand down. And I would like everyone, including the one who raised their hand, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. And I turn from my sin that I can live for you as a follower of Christ, as a disciple, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's exciting.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.